You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hi, Troy.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent.
That's good. You're looking very dapper this morning, as I was saying before, but you're wearing the wrong socks.
I am wearing the wrong socks. I'm sorry. I should have been more organised. I feel like I've let everybody down.
Maybe you've just let your feet down.
I have. Today on From the Crates.
Yes, what are we going to be looking
today
at?
Today we're going to do an old and two news. How's that?
That sounds fantastic.
Right. Now, old, we go back to 1984. In fact, I think March 1984. Now, what we've got is a re-release on vinyl for the first time in ages. First time since, I think, 1984 that this one's come out on vinyl. It is the first album and the self-titled record by Run DMC.
Awesome.
Now, I remember when this record came out. In fact, weirdly enough, one of the people I worked with at Southbound, Kerry, introduced me to this record when he worked at a different record store back in 1984.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of nostalgia.
Well, it's not so much nostalgia, because I think that's probably a waste of time to be nostalgic.
Why is it a waste of time to be nostalgic?
Because it's ignoring the present and it's looking at things through a weird prism where you're not hearing, in the case of a record, where you're not hearing what it actually is. You're colouring it with your own experiences. Where in fact, this record, Run DMC, was a super forward-looking record at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, up till then, hip-hop had mainly been related to disco and funk.
Really? Right?
If you think of like the big records like The Message, and then The Message was basically, in fact, even on the label of The Message, it said a remake of Chic's Good Times, which is exactly what it was, a disco record with like rapping over the top. And
it's a really nice combo though, that disco.
Of course it is. It's great. But I mean, like, you know, we were by the time that Run DMC's record came out, we're almost 4 years into that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did that was so different is they stripped out a lot of the melody. Well, in fact, they sort of stripped out everything except the 808. They were the first people to like make like just tough 808 beats with rapping over the top.
Cool.
I think it's really nicely demonstrated on the tune we're going to play. Now, the tune we're going to play originally came out by an early rapper called Curtis Blow.
Mm-hmm.
The tune is called Hard Times. He put it out in 1980, and it was... like I say, it was kind of a funk disco thing.
Cool.
He was managed by the same people as Run DMC. The same people, the same person. In fact, Run's brother, Russell Simmons, was the guy that managed both of them. And is it recognisable as the same song? Yes and no. They were kind of the first tough rappers, and I don't mean tough like, oh, look at me, look how tough I am. I mean, in terms of sound, it wasn't about pretty melody. It was about... very direct lyrical style and a very, very hard, stripped down, basic production style.
And like delivering the meaning or the message?
Kind of
getting straight to the point.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can say things about message rap and everything these days after like all these decades have passed. I mean, nothing that they're saying in Hard Times is, you know, particularly, you wouldn't raise your eyebrows too much. It's basically about poverty, although, you know, the kind of poverty they coped with. They're from Hollis, Queens. It wasn't a gentrified fancy ass place at the time. They were just like basically doing a rap about the hard times they were facing, and I think we should hear it. It's a real good one.
Let's do it. I'm just gonna make sure I get the right one.
It's the one at the bottom.
Here we are.
There's the 808.
Got
What a fantastic song.
See, and you were saying that you don't often hear that the trade-off of, not trade-off of verses, but the trade-off of words in a line. Mm. And the reason you don't hear that is it never really caught on beyond Run DMC. No one else really did it. I think the Beastie Boys might have done it sort of an homage to Run DMC.
It's
but
so effective.
The other thing I think is quite important about that record is they were the first guys who just like belted out their lyrics, their lines. There was sort of no concessions to singing or like particular an intonational flow between the lines. They just belted it. It was
almost
great.
Like kind of like a protest almost. Like, do you know what I mean? Like they're just kind of saying what they want to say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, without any frills. Mm. Which leads us nicely onto the next thing, which is another duo. Run DMC weren't just Run and DMC, they were Run and DMC and Jam Master J. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, another duo with a Run in the title, Run the Jewels. Now, speaking of protests, they've basically done three album-length protest records now. Run the Jewels 3 is the latest one. Came out on vinyl just the other day. Well, internationally, I think we're getting it in the shop any minute now.
Cool.
You've probably heard, well, in fact, you have heard quite a few songs from the record already. Mm-hmm. You've heard Talk to Me, you've heard, what's that one you've got on at the moment?
Oh Mama.
Is this any different than the other Run the Jewels records? In a way, no. Have all those damn things changed so they can talk about other things? No, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
What are the other Run the Jewels records like, and what is this one like? Well, basically, you've got LP on his sort of patented hard production, a different kind of hard, obviously, 33 years later.
What's different about it?
The way that he does it? Mm. No, I'm saying that different to his production to what we just heard with Larry Smith's production on Run DMC.
Right, okay.
30-something years is what's different about it. LP's production is like, it's fairly electronic. It involves keyboards as well as, you know, it's not so much cuts and loops or anything like that. It's like through composed or something. Is the guests on the record? Yeah, Danny Brown's on there. Is Danny Brown good on there? Danny Brown's great on there.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Brown's going to be great if you have him, if you fly him in just to do something which is irrelevant to your song. On the song he's on this, it's relevant to the song. And while both LP and Killer Mike are fairly linguistically skilled and quite funny, Danny Brown just like ups it to what the hell.
I've got something else that's going to make you like Danny Brown even more, is that he loves cats.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, good on him. He's a nice guy then. Well, I don't know if he's a nice guy, but I like that about him. What else is there about? Who else is on there? Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine appears on the last track.
Oh, cool.
Boots is on there. Tunde Adebimpe from TV on the Radio is on there. Okay. It's basically got the guest spots out of the way.
So does Run the Jewels love to collaborate a lot with different artists and
Not in the way that it's. I mean, basically, we've mentioned all the guests. It's not like a massive cameo heavy record like a lot of hip hop in the last 15 years. You know, there's a reason that these people are on there. It's not just to like extend an idea or to mask any sort of lack of ideas.
Mm.
That's pretty much who's on there. What is the record about? It's kind of the same. It's kind of that ballot or the bullet, you know. It's rebellion. It's don't accept. And it's not like a sort of a teen rebellion type thing, or even one which is particularly aimed at young people, in that these are two, you know, LP and Killer Mike, both in their 40s, are both fairly, I don't know about learned, but, you know, these are smart thinking people who... Well, particularly in the last year, we saw Killer Mike on a lot of political TV shows from the United States. I mean, the guy doesn't just have something to say. He can say it well and thinks about what he's saying. So that's kind of what the record is like. But, the song we're going to hear actually does have another guest on it, but not a lyrical guest or a production guest. The song we're going to hear has the great Kamasi Washington.
No way.
Playing on it. The other thing which is really different about this song is that this one isn't kind of a stand up and be counted or stand up and punch someone.
Yeah.
This is like sort of a weird, not weird, this is like quite a it's a personal experience of someone you know dying. It's like quite an affecting song, and not really the sort of thing you'd expect from Run the Jewels, and certainly not where it's placed in the album, three quarters of the way through, nearly at the end. It's really something, and I thought, yeah, that's the one we hear. Not just because Kamasi's on it, although that's almost enough reason to play something.
But a little bit of difference.
Yeah, it's great. Run the Jewels 3, double LP is, if we have it in store, very, very soon.
Wrongs is clearly not life design. Figure out quickly that nothing gets answered when you ask the universe why. Life is a journey, to live is the worry, to love is to lose your damn mind. But live is the blessing, so I'm not stressing, cause some of my friends they survived. That's the release, but a much bigger piece is the living on limited time. Like, how do you look in the eyes of a friend and not cry when you know that they're dying? And how do you feel about yourself when you notice sometimes you had wished they were gone? Not because you didn't love them, but just because you felt too weak to be strong. You couldn't bear to see someone who prided themselves on the strength to feel weak. The cruelty of randomness holding for ransom their life and their fate and their dreams. You see that they're fighting and know that they're losing, but still you make jokes and you laugh. Cause you know despite all the sadness that you better get the good times while they last. And every new word that they speak, you are already feeling like it's in the past. And when they are gone, you just try to move on, cause the memory's hurting too bad. I've grown up so much and I wonder who you'd have become if you stuck for a while. Just know that I love you, your brain ain't forget you. Now when I remember, I smile. But I guess I'd say I'll see you soon.
I see you soon.
But the truth is that I see you now.
I see you now.
Still talk to you like you're around.
Like you're around.
But I guess I'd say you left too soon.
You left too soon.
But the truth is that you never left.
You never left.
Cause I'll never let myself forget.
Never forget.
So we stumble blind through depths of the dog, looking for something divine. Life is a journey, to live is to suffer, and I have been suffering through mine. But living's a blessing, so I ain't no stressing, cause some of my niggas ain't rhyme. And he got no drama, but his baby mama is still on my line and she crying. I search for the words to give her some comfort for her soul and spirit and mind. I tell her that it'll be fine, but deep down I know that I'm lying. The family came to rings in his chain, the bank took the house and the ride. The only thing left was his child. And she had a smile in his eyes. So much to the soul when the grandmama kept her, she looked at her sometime and cried. The very next day she cried. And day after day she cried. Then called baby mama and told her, I'm sorry, can't keep her no more, I have tried. No killer was captured, but I know he listened, so I'd like to tell you a song. The streets was a jungle, I pray that you made it, I hope that you righted your wrongs. I hope that you learn, I hope that you change, so your mama won't know this pain. So my homie's name will mean something more than a nigga got killed for a chain.
But I guess I'd say I'll see you soon. But the truth is that I see you now.
I see you now.
Still talk to you like you're around.
Like you're around.
Hey. But I guess I'd say you left too soon.
You left too soon.
But the truth is that you never left.
You never left.
Cause I'll never let myself forget.
Never forget.
We'll be right back.
Wow.
Run the Jewels, the tune there. What was that tune called? Thursday in the Danger Room.
Why do you think that they wanted to use... Is it? How do you say his first name? Is it Kamasi or is it...
Kamasi, yeah.
Yeah, Kamasi Washington.
Why?
Yeah.
Hell, who the hell wouldn't want to use Kamasi Washington?
But why within that specific track, not another one within the album?
I don't know the answer to that, but my guess is that they needed something that that kind of... created a counterpoint to the emotion in the lyrics.
Mm.
I'm guessing now, because it's not the most his contributions on there aren't the most emotional solos or anything like that. But I do think it counterpoints it quite well.
I don't know.
Kamasi Washington apparently working on a new record now as well.
Oh, fantastic.
A lot of the other people who are on the EPIC, you're going to see their records coming out over the next couple of months. First one will be from Miles Mosley, one of the bass players on the record.
Cool.
Yes. Okay, shall we move along?
Yeah.
Run the Jewels 3. You know them. You know if you like them.
You do like them.
You know if you want to buy them.
And even if you don't really know them, I think that they're a good... band. Would you cast them as a band?
I don't know what a band is. I mean, that's weird because when they first came out, it was like they were totally just LP and Killer Mike doing Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
It's like one of those collaboration things like Mad Villainy or...
Right.
But it's become the thing, you know, which is, you know, has it outlasted how long LP was in Company Flow for? Maybe. I think it might have.
Mm. Anyway, you should go down to Southbound and get yourself one.
Yes, when we have it on the shelves.
It's real,
so it's any minute. But if you were looking for other Run stuff, we've got Run DMC on the shelf now.
Any minute.
Wow. Okay, let's go for something else, which is a number three of something. This is a part three of a trilogy. Now, there's a woman called Dawn Richard, who's like a singer, an R&B type artist, who has made a trilogy of records which are based... Well, I'm not going to tell you what they're based around, but I'll tell you what they're called. They're called Golden Heart was the first one, Black Heart was the second one. This one is called Redemption. Huh? Where's the heart? Well, it has a subtitle. Heart, the Red Era is the subtitle of it. Now...
Sounds dark.
Well, it isn't. I mean, you had the second one, Blackheart, was amazing. It was some of the most twisted left field electronic stuff behind what was basically an R&B pop vocal, but songs about things which you don't usually have covered in R&B ballad type vocals.
What kind of things would you not have covered? Like, what are specific things that would be like avoided?
Well, probably mowing the lawns isn't. Isn't covered in most R&B, and in fact, it wasn't on Blackheart either. No, what I meant was not so much the subject matter, but the way the songs were sung, the way the songs were written.
Right.
Really, really interesting, forward-looking stuff. And the first one, the Golden Heart one, that was a little bit more accessible, perhaps. And so it was like the third one. Wow, what's going to happen now? Is it going to go completely twisted and out there? Yes and no. This time it's machine drum producing, so basically you've got a club R&B record. A lot of it is like sort of, you know, the you know, with the big club signifiers, the bass drops and things like that. Some of it sounds like the kind of like fairly light electronic dance music that you could hear in a club. But then you've got Dawn. Not only do you have Dawn on those ones, on some of the other tunes, it like starts off as one thing, and you think, "Oh yeah, I've got a handle on this. This is like this," and then it'll just like turn around on itself. And you go, "What the hell am I listening to?"
I love that kind of track.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's like a
kind of puts you in your place.
Oh, I'm put in my place every day.
But you know what I mean? It's like you don't actually know what's going to happen.
Yes,
you just need to
thank
write.
Goodness for that. You know, some modern music, you hear 10 seconds, you go, I know exactly what this is going to do, right up to the last breath. And
sometimes
sure
it's nice to have that, though, that kind of like, you know, steady, I don't know, depends on what you want to be listening to.
Yeah, it depends on if you want to eat seaweed or not and avoid bananas. Anyway, Dawn. What we're going to do is we're going to play something off this. We could have played Panther Like a Panther, which has Trina on it, which is kind of cool. But what I wanted to do is like I'll do the obvious thing and show the breadth of what the record's like by playing the song, which undergoes two significant stylistic shifts within the song. Okay. This one's called LA, and though I don't know if it means Los Angeles or Louisiana, because the last section of the song has a trombone shorty, Troy Andrews, the trumpet and trombone player from New Orleans, Louisiana.
And it
goes into kind of a... remember we talked about second line rhythms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it goes into kind of a second line rhythm thing at the very end, though not in a funeral sense. Also in it, there's something which you could say... oh, that sounds a bit like Prince, or that sounds like prog jazz or something. There is, but it starts off in one place and then goes to somewhere else and then goes somewhere else again.
Cool.
Totally cool. Redemption is the name of Dawn Richards' album. She's styled D triangle WN. It's how you read Dawn.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Now, don't you? Yeah. And is there anything else I particularly wanted to say about this one? I told you who produced it. The Machine Drum, who's also produced a couple of things for Azalea Banks. That's the closest to the aesthetic he brings to this. Is that he did maybe three or four things with Azalea Banks background,
okay,
4 or 5 years ago. Anyways, should we hear LA?
Yes.
All right. This is Dawn.
Be going 90 down the bridge. Maybe cause that shit don't matter. MJ on the radio, so we blast her. MJ on the right. Niggas always chasing answers. We just wanna know if it really matters. We just wanna know. Love it all, cause Pope Francis Wayne was a hot boy. He said we should keep driving for the sake of surviving. Now we hot boy. We thought we was above it all, cause Pope Francis Wayne was a hot boy. He said we should keep driving for the sake of surviving. Now we hot boy. These LA streets are killing me. These are the streets are killing me. These are the streets are killing me.
I just want to listen to more and more and more and more. I feel like the thing about that is you could just keep on going.
Yeah, and what I liked is that it's not like three songs glued together. It's
no,
the
it
same
works.
Melodic structure.
It so works.
But yeah, it's great. That one, LA, it's from Dawn's album Redemption, which is the third in the trilogy, and I'm not going to tell you what the trilogy is about. Basically, if you want to know, you should listen and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
That's also another way of saying I'm not entirely sure I'm correct in knowing what everything is about.
So, that's good.
Yeah. But that's a cool one. The vinyl's been long delayed on this one. By long delayed, I mean it was originally supposed to come out in November. And I think the album came out digitally or possibly even on CD around then.
But now you've got it.
But now the vinyl is only just coming out now.
And so somebody just said, love it, coming in to buy it, where do I go? So
right, Southbound Records is at 132 Simon Street, which is just past the motorway overbridge on
that
Simon
beautiful
Street.
Bridge.
Yes, just up there.
I'm actually pretty, I might come and get it as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so you can buy it. If you didn't like it, you might still find something you like at Southbound. So we got a lot of stuff.
And go and say hello to all the lovely people there.
Yeah,
thank
Roger's
you.
On today. Say hello to Roger.
Thank you so much, Troy, for coming in.
Bye.
Bye.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.